Tonight we're going to consider the furnace of the faithful. The furnace of the faithful. I would say every child in their Christian walk, every child of God, will go through a furnace along this pilgrimage at some point. Maybe that's you right now. Maybe it's been you in your past. Maybe it's one, maybe it's two, maybe it's multiple times where the problems come in. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we are suddenly put into, as it were, a fiery furnace of trouble and affliction. There's times when maybe we can understand the reason why it's happened. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 25 talks, the Lord says, I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross. There was something being removed. And maybe, like myself, you've been in a situation where I can think of in my past where God brought me through a trial to get rid of pride. And maybe you can see that you can understand why a furnace would come if something like that is getting removed. You understand it. But then there's times where you're put into the furnace and maybe you don't understand why. And maybe it's times where it's really sudden, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here. All happened very quickly. The situation unraveled. But you know, whilst I can't tell you why maybe you're in a furnace or you have been, and I can't tell you how long it's going to be, I can't tell you why it's you and not the person beside you, there's one thing that we can be sure of, one purpose that God has in putting us through the furnace, and that's our first point tonight, and that's separation, divine separation. God often puts us in the furnace to separate the people of God from others. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three people among possibly thousands that were gathered, as it was said at the start, the rulers, the judiciary, the counselors, judges, the princes of the provinces. Among all these, perhaps as I say, thousands, these men were separated out. Now we read in verse 21, they were dressed, they had their hats, their hosen, their garments, and perhaps these showed their ranking in society and their position within the kingdom of Babylon. But there was something that yet God was going to use to separate them, even if their clothes perhaps didn't. But you know, whilst they were being separated out for this furnace, there's always that reassurance that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yes, God may use that fire to separate those precious jewels, those who are genuinely saved, from maybe ones that are just sitting playing church, or people that call themselves Christian but have never come to know the Lord as Savior. C.H. Spurgeon said, the Lord gets his best soldiers out of the highlands of affliction. And even better, the Word of God says in Isaiah 48 and 10, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. There's even a sermon I think you can get on YouTube of Dr. Paisley preaching on that very passage. It's a very encouraging word. I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. God, perhaps, C.H. Spurgeon often talked about afflictions and was certainly convinced that God used afflictions to bring you to a place where God could then use you for his glory, to remove things like sins that would keep you back and have you built up with your own pride. God would make you bring you so low into the furnace that all the glory would be of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were separated. Look at verse 21 and 22, and we'll just read these again. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were mighty men that were called to cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. But these men were slain, they were killed. God separated Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from these mighty men that were killed by the even just coming so close to that furnace. God separated them for his glory and to make them a spectacle for his glory. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And you'll see another occasion in Bible history when God separates. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is Moses relating the history of Israel before they would go into the promised land and before he would go into the promised land of heaven. Deuteronomy chapter 4. There's a few verses I want to read here. It's from verse 33 of Deuteronomy 4. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live. This is speaking of Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, where the Ten Commandments were given, and the fire was upon that mountain, and God spoke, and Israel heard the voice of God. Verse 34, or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. In verse 37, you see, partway through that verse, he chose their seed after them. God chose Israel for the promised land. And how did he separate them out from Egypt? Back into verse 34, God took him a nation, that is Israel, from the midst of another nation, Egypt, taking Israel out of Egypt. How did he do it? By temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, stretched out arm, great terrors. Notice those words, temptations, wonders, war, great terrors. I'm made to think of those plagues in Egypt. That's how God got Israel out of Egypt. And we often, and rightly so, like to focus in on the plagues where God sent the plague upon Egypt and preserved and kept Israel that were living in the land of Goshen. And that's well and good, and that's powerful how God did keep Israel. But there were three plagues which God afflicted Israel with. There was the blood, there was the frogs, and there was the lice. Why did God do that? God did that to separate out Israel, than to choose them, select them for his glory. And in spite of all that, in spite of those terrors, in spite of those plagues, in verse 37 here of Deuteronomy 4, why did God do that? Because he loved thy fathers, because God loved them. And that is why God put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into this furnace, because he loved them. Jacob, when he fled from Esau, fled from the family home, Esau had the threat of death upon Jacob. But what do we read in Romans chapter 9, verse 13? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. You see, God puts us through that furnace of affliction because he has chosen us as his own children and because he loves us. Whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. Hebrews 11 is a brilliant portion for that and describing that more fuller. God was separating them because he loved them. Tonight, maybe God's separating you out and putting you through a furnace. And maybe you look around and nobody else seems to be going through what you're going through. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're so few among so great a multitude. But take courage, because you know the Lord Jesus Christ endured far more. And he did it alone. Christ was separated from before the foundation of the world. He suffered and bled and died alone. Isaiah 63, verse 6 says, I have trodden the winepress alone. And of the people, there was none with me. Christ went to the cross alone. And even upon that cross, when Christ took our sins and there was darkness upon the earth, God the Father turned his face away and poured out his wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. When God plunges you into the troubles, take stock of what Christ bore at Calvary and what Christ has done for you already. And another powerful example, just as I've been reading through the book of Daniel, it came to my attention that Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, when he was going to be cast into the den of lions, the command went out, if you make a petition to any man or to any god, you're going to be cast into the den of lions. Daniel knew full well that law had been passed, the king had signed it. Daniel went into his home as normal to pray. And in Daniel 6 verse 10, remember, he knew as soon as he prayed, he was going to be found out and he was going to be put in the den of lions. But what did he do when he was praying? It says in Daniel 6 and 10, he gave thanks before his God. He gave thanks, even though he knew fine well that he would be cast into that den of lions. He gave thanks. When you're separated in the flame, always remember that Christ has suffered more. So there is the separation, God separating his people. And then secondly, notice divine protection here in Daniel chapter 3. Divine protection. Look at this very interesting statement in verse 25. Though I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. They are walking in the midst of the fire. And you know, dear child, when you're in that fiery furnace, when you're in the middle of all the troubles and just one thing seems to pile upon top of another and the flames are engulfing you and there's more attacks, as it were, upon attack, and we feel like we can't even so much as lift our head, or maybe you can't even see through the veil of tears that's in your eyes, but it's at that moment that God draws near and makes us to walk. In Psalm 138 verse 7, we read, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. It's in those flames and in those times of furnace when God makes us to walk not by sight, but by faith. Even as Mr. McClung was preaching on Sunday morning, we walk by faith, not by sight. Miracle enough that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were alive in the flames, but even so much more, they were actually walking in those flames. They weren't grabbing their cloaks trying to protect themselves from the fire. No, they were safe, and they were up, and they were walking in the midst of those flames. Not only does God save our souls by lifting us up out of the horrible pit, to quote Psalm 40, but even in that verse in Psalm 40, he lifted us up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, but he set our feet upon a rock and established our goings. He set us walking as soon as we were saved. You know, newborn babes in Christ, they walk immediately. It's not like the physical, where it takes years, or well, a year and a bit anyway, probably, of development to walk. Newborn babes in Christ, they walk immediately. But listen, faithful one that's saved and been in the affliction, you know, maybe you're at the point and been there where, just like Elijah, maybe you just feel like crying out just for death, for God to take you away into glory, or maybe like Jonah, you feel like running, leaving everything behind. But no, dear child of God, Christ is with you, walking in the midst of those engulfing flames. When you want to give it all up, Christ comes and makes you to walk in the midst of the flames. And we can say we can stand here by the grace of God, that God has kept us. Isaiah 27 and 3 says this. Speaking, Israel's being pictured as a vine. And just to give the context, and we of course are spiritual Israel. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Every moment. Night and day. That word moment in that verse, in the Hebrew, it means wink, an instant. You know, in this entire meeting, God hasn't taken his eyes off you. In your entire life, God hasn't taken his eyes off you, and he never will. The Lord will protect. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Again, Spurgeon says, as sure as ever God puts his children in the furnace, he will be in the furnace with them. You know, I was reading last Friday, there was a fire that broke out in Andorra's football stadium. It was the day before England were playing in a World Cup qualifier in that ground, and there was a small fire that burst out in the pitch there. And one newspaper described it like this. Photographs showed black marks left on the artificial pitch and beside the dugouts, and the smell from the fire reached the England team hotel. It went on to say, a dugout has melted and the video assistant referee's monitor was burned, with walls blackened by fire. Can you picture it? All the grass blackened, the wall blackened, the monitor burned, the dugout melting because of the fire. Now look at Daniel 3 and 27. And the princes, governors and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. What a contrast from that newspaper report last week. And that was only a reasonably small fire. And here, there was no marks on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God had kept them and protected them in that fire. Divine protection. God protects his people in the furnace of affliction. There'll be no mark. There'll be no smell of the flames. There'll be no burning. No hair singed. And you know, dear unsaved, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood there without a mark coming out of the flames, you know, likewise Christ can wash away all of your sins. But not one sin will stand against you in that day of judgment. Christ can wash them all away. And their robes, they were untouched, they were unmarked. And so it is when Christ equips us with his robes of perfect, spotless righteousness, they'll never be marred, nor torn, nor ruined, nor wear out because of the journey and the pilgrimage. Between here and the grave, those robes will wear out. Between the grave and all of eternity, those robes will never wear out. You're saved. God can clothe you in the robes of his righteousness tonight if you put your trust in him. This protection that we read of in Daniel 3 is on par with what we read of in Deuteronomy 29 and 5, when Israel were traveling through the wilderness 40 years. It says, "And I," that's God, "have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot." There we go, the robes of Christ's righteousness will never wear out upon his people. The shoes, the Bible describes it, the feet being prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those shoes of peace, they're never going to, the soles of those shoes will never wear out. Maureen, I was looking online, it says, you know, on average your shoes should be replaced every 8 to 12 months. I think I need new shoes. But also it says about your running shoes should last about 500 miles or so. But when you're marching in the Lord's army, those shoes will never wear out. Never wear out. So here we have divine separation. Isaiah 48 and 10, "I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." We have divine protection. Isaiah 27 and 3, "I, the Lord, do keep it, and will water it at every moment. No burns, no smells of the flame, no marks on their clothes. They were kept and protected." Now, what was the result of all this? The divine separation and the divine protection. In the end, we have divine revelation. Why did God put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through this furnace? Why does God take you through the furnace of affliction? It's ultimately for his glory. Look at Daniel 3 and verse 26. "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and listen, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Servants of the Most High God, Nebuchadnezzar calls them. He's brought face to face with the existence of God and the power of God. But he has to say, these are servants of the Most High God. And then his declaration in verse 29, "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." God was glorified in this affliction. And dear afflicted brother or sister, if that's you tonight in the middle of the furnace, you haven't come out yet, pray for that moment when God would turn the affliction to his glory. I don't know what that could entail. Could it be that through the affliction someone might be saved? Could it be that through the affliction you're actually burdened for a soul to be saved? That you understand that the burden of a soul, to win a soul for Christ? Could it be that that affliction will help you down the line to encourage another brother and sister and to help them when they go into the furnace? Could it be that maybe it's helped your prayer life, the thing that the devil attacks most? Divine revelation, the glory of God being shown here in these his servants. That's why the resurrection is so central and so important to the gospel, because it was that that showed forth the glory of God and revealed the glory after Christ had been separated to die on the cross, after he shed his blood to protect, to save you and me. But divine revelation, the seal of approval, was when Christ rose again from the dead. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. The sinner can see tonight the divine separation, how Christ suffered for you, that you could be saved. You can put your trust in him, that you might have that divine protection for all of eternity, clothed in the robes of Christ's righteousness, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb, that you then can go and start walking for Christ. Divine revelation showing others the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And for the believer that's going through the furnace of affliction of trust, these points have encouraged you that God would sanctify you through this furnace and separating you, and that God would protect you during this trial, hard as it may be, that God would protect you and keep you, that underneath and round about you would know those everlasting arms of God. And in the end, no matter how long it may be, that in the end, the glory of God would be revealed in it all. I trust tonight even just some of the verses might be petitions in our prayers tonight, that the Lord would help us to walk in the midst of the fire, that the Lord would protect us and the Lord would keep us every moment, that even these wee promises would be written on your hearts and souls tonight. Thank you for your attention tonight, and trust that God would bless his word unto us.